From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome back to the show. My name is Noel.
Our compatriot Matt is on adventures, but will be returning soon. They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is 2024, folks. Everybody remember to write the date correctly. Calendars are largely made up, but it's the small things that matter. This is one of our favorite times of the week, our listener mail segment, where we get to hear directly from you. Noel, we've got a bunch of wild stuff here today, and you and I were talking. We're thinking maybe we jump right into a voicemail, right?
I think so. As you know, Matt, in his absence, remains the keeper of the voicemail vault, and so it's almost like he's here. Let's hear one. Let's hear one.
All right, so we are going to play one from a fellow conspiracy realist going by Duke Nukem.
Ooh, nice ref.
Duke Nukem. Here we go.
Hey, guys, long-time listener, first-time caller. You can call me Duke Nukem. So I am a previous Air Force officer. I worked in nuclear missile control and command. I was technically an ICBM launch officer, specifically the Minuteman III missile. So I was the one underground, 65 feet underground, and we were there behind a 65-ton blast door for about 24 to 72 hours at a time. I wanted you guys to think about what it was like for us underground there, because it wasn't just checklist and procedure, but there were a lot of stories about supernatural activity that happened in a lot of our missile alert facilities or capsules that we hung out in. And things got super weird. And I did it for about 5 years, and this is where it gets crazy. I actually had some experiences underground of things that I couldn't explain. Wasn't sure if you guys have heard about this, but a lot of these missile silos, these alert facilities were built, and they found Indian burial grounds. So that might contribute to some of the weird things that happened. But specifically, I was on alert one morning just up by myself, and there was a huge, our entire capsule got knocked. And we were swinging because we're on springs to just in case there was a nuclear war, we would be able to do our job. But out of nowhere, our entire capsule got hit. I investigated, and we were swinging, and there was nothing there. There was another story of a missileer looking across into the launch control equipment building, which is outside of the blast door, which is where our diesel generation comes from, and they saw a little girl that threw a ball at them and then disappeared. So not sure if you guys are interested in like exploring this, but I know there's been some supernatural activity that has been reported by missileers that might just be ghosts, but also extraterrestrial activity with the nuclear sites and some nuclear launch facilities going offline. But just wanted to give you guys a heads up that that's actually a thing in our community. I am no longer in the Air Force anymore, but this is something that stuck with me.
And that was Duke Nukem with a bevy of things that deserve further digging. I'm doing a underground missile silo joke.
Yeah, no, it's true. Matt pointed out too in the notes when he left us this one that this there's the inklings of quite a few other stories there that would probably be worth giving Duke a call back. But Ben, you know, I was thinking about too just being that deep underground, it can be cause in and of itself for some kind of auditory hallucinations. Now, I'm not chalking these up to entirely to hallucinations, but I was actually just watching a TV series called Murder at the End of the World, which is pretty good. Britt Marling, who's made some films that I really enjoyed, like Another Earth and one called Sound of My Voice and another one about eco-terrorists that I'm forgetting the name of. But anyway, there's a part where there's like this very, very wealthy character who has an underground bunker, and he points out that being deep enough underground to escape the seepage of fallout would require being so far down, like around 50 feet or more, that you would have no access to natural sunlight. And that being down there for long enough, that can actually play tricks on the mind, because being a you know, species who has evolved in the presence of natural sunlight, you know, we kind of need the stuff. You know, we can obviously supplement certain parts of it away in terms of the kinds of nutrients that we need and all of that. But there's something to it. You know, if we hear about people getting seasonal affective disorder and needing certain special lights. But had you thought about that at all, about what maybe living underground like that or being exposed to long periods underground like that might do to the mind?
Sure. Yeah. And this is, I think, one of the first things we should say is, Duke, thank you for doing your part to keep the world safe.
Absolutely.
The U.S. doesn't hear a lot about this this profession, dare I say vocation. However, it is mission critical. And you raised something that I was thinking about as well there, Noel, which is when someone is underground for an extended amount of time. It doesn't have to be like a fallout level extended amount of time, but when you are underground, you are going to be exposed to some degree to things that humans still don't quite understand. One example would be plate tectonics. I'm wondering whether the, in terms of auditory experience, I'm wondering whether the frequencies of sound from the Earth's temblors and its, you know, the lovely little farts of this crust of the planet we call home.
I'm wondering if they could
do something that that would be difficult to explain, especially when you have a firsthand sensory experience. Now, as for the paranormal stuff, that's a whole different bag of badgers, right? Like, I don't know. Like, oftentimes when we hear these stories or these experiences of someone who says, I was on duty, I saw something I cannot explain, that's often one person seeing it. But it sounds like Duke is telling us that he had a report of multiple people seeing this little girl who threw the ball.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know, man. It's interesting. As many times as we've covered stories of people reporting paranormal, I know it's not really necessarily our job to make it about us or to say, you know, we think this is scientifically verifiable or whatever. That's really not the point of this show. But I feel like at different times we've fallen on different sides of whether these kinds of things are factually possible, or whether it's more of like a spiritual kind of experience, which can, you know, a hallucination is an experience. And I don't think it's necessarily one that is inherently without meaning or without value, you know, and people that are in a similar situation could be, because of certain deprivations or certain, the plate tectonics thing I think is fascinating, be experiencing similar things. I don't know where I fall on, like, you know, can you see a ghost? Can you see the remnants of the past? We've talked about these kinds of things, and it's always something that I'm always right up against the edge of, and I just don't, I don't know, and I haven't experienced it like that, so it's not for me to say. I would say that in a place like this and in a time of war, I could surely imagine some pretty crazy energies lingering around in facilities such as this.
It also makes me wonder, it makes me wonder about the UFO sightings near missile facilities, right? Since the 1940s, there have been multiple reports of silos being stalked, for lack of a better word, being surveilled by some sort of inexplicable craft entity, or phenomenon,
sure,
entity.
Yeah.
Sure. And this, I think, goes into one of the larger issues. And this ties in with the paranormal stuff too, Duke, which is that people who are working at this level in this rarefied air of expertise are often very concerned about reporting what they have seen up the command chain, because it may compromise your career in a situation where you need to be a stalwart, 100% dependable person functioning in your role. Then anything that makes you look like you might not be 100% dependable can be really damaging. So it's not a surprise, I would say, that there is not more official reporting on this. There's a lot of people talking to each other in communities. You get together with your veteran buddies, things like that. We want to bring those stories to the world, and we will do our best to protect your anonymity as well.
Hey, collectively, we've all been very encouraged by some of the disclosure stuff. You know, as underwhelming as maybe some of the reports have been, just the fact that it gives an outlet to people and a validation to folks, you know, who have these kinds of stories. And again, what disclosure is more specifically referring to, like, I guess, extraterrestrial, you know, types of experiences. But to me, I feel like they may as well be two sides of the same coin. I think that's a really good point, Ben, the whole sightings near missile silos and all of that, though. I do think that's a very valid thing to bring up. And, you know, with Matt being sort of the keeper of the voicemail vault and doing such a bang-up job as always, I think the two of us have definitely made a bit of a New Year's pledge to give some calls back ourselves. And who knows, maybe it could even evolve into another type of segment moving forward. But Duke, I think this is a really great story, and I'm really anxious to hear more.
And I would love to hear more from other people who've had similar experiences. Please let us know. Give us a call, 1-833-STDWYTK. You can also email us directly. Love an email. We read everyone we get. We are conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. Noel, what do you say we pause for a word from our sponsor and come back with some more listener mail?
Smashing idea.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
And we have returned with more messages from you. Yes, you. And in this case, you is one of my favorite nicknames in recent memory. Foxillion Fastfoot. I'm a big fan of alliteration, Ben. How about you? You like a good alliterative turn of phrase?
Yeah, I am actively a fan of alliteration.
No, you did it. You went with an A, which isn't even an easy one to pull off. Well done, sir. Okay, well, we'll just jump right into it. Hey, Ben, Matt, and Noel, call me, good to say it again, Foxillion Fastfoot. That is my D&D character name. Of course it is, Ben. You've got some. What's your? Do you have a character name for your D&D, or do you just go with your own name?
Oh, several. Several.
Okay.
Right. What about you? You got a D&D name?
I don't play D&D because I just haven't had the opportunity, but I really want to. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to make a resolution right here and now to try to play a real D&D game. But my character's name in Skyrim is Grendel, like the monster in Beowulf, you know? I just think I've always thought that was a cool sounding name, but I don't have a last name. It should be like Grendel Gadfly or something like that, you know, if we're going with the alliteration thing. In any case, D&D character names are awesome. Continuing with the letter, your recent discussion about various goods like Swedish fish and Mountain Dew being smuggled into the UK to circumvent laws regarding the safety of certain chemicals, it got me thinking about the inverse, overprotecting people from helpful products because a chemical has not been proven safe. I can give a personal and timely anecdote to this. Last month, I went on a tour of the British Isles and was just getting over a cold when I arrived in London to begin the tour. I assumed that if the symptoms came back, I could just go to a chemist. British for pharmacy. Thank you. And pick up the equivalent of Mucinex, NyQuil, Airborne, etc. My symptoms came back and I went to find some medicine. To my surprise, all I could find on the shelves was their version of Tylenol, which is that called paracetamol? I only remember that because there's a joke like about where all the Tylenols in the jungle go. The parrots eat them all. It may be a different drug, but I do know that is a British equivalent of like a painkiller.
Or just acetaminophen, right?
I think that's right. But again, I don't even know what the deal is behind that because I've certainly never heard of paracetamol over here. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, be worth looking into further. But going on, I did a Google search to see if dextromethorphan, the active ingredient in many decongestants, was legal in the UK, and it said it was. Perhaps those medicines were behind the shelf, but I did not see them when I looked. For what it's worth, and proof that I know what medication I need to treat which cold symptom, once I returned to the States and in the airport purchased some Mucinex, my symptoms were gone within the next day.
Oh, it is paracetamol, by the way.
Got it. Got it. While I cannot definitively say that every compound in common cold medicines is safe, I can say that I have never had a negative reaction to any such medication, provided I don't overdo it. It does feel like the UK government is doing a disservice to their population by keeping treatments that can help people recover faster out of fewer hands. Okay, I think this is one thing to discuss here. This is the next. As a side note, something you all may find humorous, right after travelers get through security at Heathrow, they walk through a giant duty-free shop that is sectioned off into different areas: cosmetics, gadgets, spirits, and of course, candy. In the candy section, there is a display of Kinder Eggs. As you all know, Kinder Eggs, or this is me, at the very least, the kind that we're talking about here, the brand exists here, but not these European kind, are illegal in the United States because they the eggs contain a non-nutritive object in the form of the toy inside. If the United Kingdom wants to yell about people smuggling Mountain Dew into their country, perhaps they should do something about people smuggling Kinder Eggs out of their country. What's fair is fair, right? I think this is so cool. Do you mind, Ben, if we start with the what's the deal with, like, looking into the efficacy of drugs and, like, how different countries are going to have different processes and whether or not the fact that we have all of this stuff available over here is always, in fact, good? Or is there, like, a middle ground? I'm fascinated to hear what you have to say.
Sure. Yeah. First, I'd like to say I've had that same experience, Foxillion. By the way, Foxillion is a entity of many names, and it's always good to hear from them. I've had that same experience in Heathrow multiple times. We'll get to that in a second. The idea of how over-the-counter drugs or substances are treated country to country is incredibly fascinating. For example, if you are in a lot of places in Europe, on the continent of Europe, and then also in the UK as well, a lot of things that you might need a prescription for here in the States, you do not need a prescription for in those other countries.
Right.
And also the pharmacies here in the States are usually pretty shocking to folks from Europe, because pharmacies here sell so much other stuff. You know, they sell, like, they're basically small grocery stores, and pharmacies in much of the rest of the world only sell these medicinal substances. You've had that experience as well, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think I first noticed it in Paris, where, you know, the Apotheke, I think they call it in Germany. Just the chemists or whatever. There are these green signs. They almost look like you think they might be, like, jokingly was like, is that a weed dispensary? Nope. They've been that way for ages. That's what they look like. And they only sell medication. And we went into one because we had to get COVID tests at that point in order to get a clearance to fly back. But yes, I did notice they don't sell, you know, gummy candy or anything like that. It is exclusively that particular genre of products. And a lot of it isn't over the counter at all, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I think also that goes into the larger conversation that you're having with us. I'll call you Dr. Fastfoot for D&D Fastfoot. The idea of overprotecting people from helpful products, like being overly preventative, right? There is validity to that argument, right? The question is, should a given regulatory body wait until there are decades-long studies about intergenerational effects or effects over 30 years or so on before allowing or disallowing a substance into the market? That's a really good question. And in our previous conversation, the argument seems to be that, at least in the case of the United Kingdom, they are sort of erring on the side of caution, right? And saying, hey, let's not have a situation like asbestos or lead not too long ago. And we see that, and that's definitely a stance to take. It does prevent possible legal nightmares down the road. But I gotta say something about the Kinder Egg. The yes. Kinder Egg controversy with a K look, man, a lot of times when you travel, especially if it's not a controlled substance, like some kind of drug or whatever, a lot of times when you travel, your origin country or your origin place doesn't care what you take with you because it's not their responsibility. An example here in the United States would be flying from a city or from a state wherein something like cannabis is legal or decriminalized. They're not going to say, hey, are you flying to a place where this is still legal? They don't care.
It's interesting. I've had this conversation with multiple folks, and particularly a friend of mine who's a lawyer, and he had a bit of a different view on it, because I guess his opinion was that when you're in the airport, you're kind of in a liminal space where, like, federal law applies more than state law, and more even than the law of, like, the state or the country that you're in. Not the country. It's different in Europe, obviously, because there'd be laws, you know, from country to country.
The jurisdiction.
And the jurisdiction, that's right. So, like, sure, you wouldn't. In theory, if they've caught you with cannabis in, like, a place where it is federally illegal, they could at the very least confiscate it, but they probably wouldn't, like, send you to jail, and likely they would call the local law, and then they would say, well, it's legal here. But it's gray, super weird and gray. But the idea of this Kinder Egg smuggling really tickled me, because it seems like such a silly small thing, but, like, over here, the Kinder Eggs we get, they're like a Ferrero Rocher ball that you just kind of crack open and can dip a little cookie in. Mm-hmm. It's such a bait and switch. There's no non-food product.
Well,
there's barely an egg in there. It's packaging that looks like an egg, but you can get the thing I always loved about those types of Kinder Egg were the white chocolate on the inside, darker chocolate on the outside. You can get that over here as a bar, but not as the actual egg containing a prize.
A toy, yeah.
Do you know, Ben, if all non-nutritive things have been outlawed, or is that, because, I mean, it used to be you'd have a toy in your cereal box that was just kind of floating free. Now it's like in all kinds of packaging, because I guess they don't want to make sure nobody chokes on it. Such a funny little distinction.
It's the idea of erring on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes one unfortunate incident of a toy just floating free in the bottom of a box of Cracker Jacks.
Right.
It takes one person swallowing that for there to be an absolute hurricane of problems. And the Kinder stuff, the real Kinder Eggs, are, yes, still technically illegal in the United States, but people smuggle stuff all the time. It's not always, you know, drugs. It's not always, it's not always the evil stuff. One of the biggest smuggled products for a long time on the U.S. and Canadian border was actually toilets, commodes.
Oh, wow.
When the low flush commode laws went into place, people on the northern side of the U.S. started smuggling in these different commodes. So there's a lot to unpack with this. And I'm tempted to ask folks, what is your favorite non-true crime smuggled thing? Like, we know if you have relatives who live in a different country, often you're asked to bring things over when you come back home. One of the funniest ones I learned about recently, Noel, and this is not illegal, is Pollo Campero. You know, the fast food chicken joint?
I've heard the name, but I don't think I'm familiar with what are they known for?
I used to eat at one when I was living in Central America. They're quite popular in Guatemala, and it's become somewhat of a tradition for people flying to the U.S. to bring Pollo Campero with them, such that the fast food business itself started making these insulated bags
so you could
carry it on the airport on the airplane without making it, the whole place smell of chicken.
That's a good branding play. I do want to maybe close this one up with one question, and I think this maybe is where Foxillion is going with this. Does it feel like we're hung up over here in the United States about a little plastic toy inside an egg because we're afraid of, like, liability lawsuits or whatever, but yet we greenlight a lot more kind of weird medications than the UK seemingly is willing to do. You know, we've got all these things like, you know, these diabetes drugs that are being prescribed off label to encourage weight loss, you know, like the Manjaros of the world and all of that stuff. And we are now hearing, after these things have already been greenlit, that there are long-term effects that are starting to begin to be understood that maybe were not considered up front. So is it that, like, why are we so focused on, like, the little plastic toy that they don't care about over in the UK, but yet we seem to be willing to let a lot more experimental kind of drugs flood the market than the UK is willing to do?
And I'd like to hear, folks, especially if you've traveled outside of the US, I'd like to hear what things have you been able to purchase over the counter that require prescription here in the States? And what is your opinion on that? Is it safer? To your earlier question as well, Noel, is it a matter of safety? Is it a matter of preventative regulation? Or is there something else in the mix? Are there ulterior motives? Are there, are there backroom conversations with stacks of cash or campaign donations? That was an accidental rhyme. Before we get into full freestyling, what if we pause for a word from our sponsor? We'll be back with one more message from our fellow conspiracy realist.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
And we have returned. We're going to hear from Not Joe's Cousin. Not Joe's Cousin says, "Howdy there, conspiracy realist. I was listening to the show earlier today, and your discussion on prion or prion diseases stuck in my mind. You see, I have a degree in human biology, and prion or prion diseases came up numerous times in my years of study, learning about mad cow, CJD, Kuru death, shout out the X-Files episode,
oh, yeah.
CWD and fatal familial insomnia all stuck with me. Now, I'm no etymology doctor, but I feel like after hearing many PhDs, master's students, and undergrads discuss prions or prions over years of study, I can give you a definitive answer on how to pronounce it. Doc, can we get a drum roll, please? Perfect. Not Joe's Cousin says, it was more often said one way than the other. but often both were heard during any class, and there was one constant during all of these discussions. No one ever corrected how anyone else said it. No one ever even balked or batted an eye at hearing it first one way, then the other. No eyebrows were ever raised at two people discussing back and forth and both saying it different ways. It convinced me of three things. First, both ways to say it are correct. Second, no one cares which way you say it. And third, perhaps most controversial, I firmly believe many biologists are themselves unsure whether one way is correct and which that would be. For what it's worth, I say it the more commonly heard way from my undergrad. And if you're wondering, I say it, and here, not Joe's cousin spelled out, P-R-I-O-N. So it's like a written joke, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
Always email us. Best way to contact.
Yeah, it is. This is very illuminative on a couple of levels, because this is a clearly very learned individual who is writing to us, speaking to the perspective of a very learned community who seem to be confused about the pronunciation of words just as much as everybody else. And I think it should be taken as a good thing. And also to what you always add to these types of questions when they come up, Ben, is that it is a living language. It's about usage more than it is necessarily about like hard and fast rules. But, you know, sure, there are technically correct pronunciations of things. But if one ends up rising to the top of the food chain, then I would say that one has just as much validity as the quote unquote correct one. Because at the end of the day, like, don't words just kind of come into being because people say them and use them and are functional?
Yeah. The idea, again, of the living language. I mean, certain things have to be codified, right? We have to, in certain spheres of communication, we have to know exactly what is being said and what that signifies or entails. But we're not always doing, you know, like OPSEC and comms. You right. probably don't end most conversations with over and out, right?
It's fine. Maybe. Every now
and
again.
I like it. I'll
especially, just do a little like, you know, like over and out. I'll let you 20, all that good stuff.
But this is what, this is something that I personally love, I think we all really enjoy it, about this show. We have subject matter experts who write in and are always so cool. Thank you to the experts in aviation who have written in regarding various aspects of not just the show, but our like personal goals, how to get a pilot license and so on. Then exactly. Thank you to like the many biologists, the many hunters who wrote in with some more on the ground experience about zombie deer phenomenon, chronic wasting disease. I think we can dedicate an entire listener mail segment in a few weeks to the feedback we've gotten just on that story. What do you think, Noel?
Oh, I 100% agree, Ben. So since we're one short of a quorum today, I don't really know the real rules of parliamentary procedure, but I'm just using that to say that we miss you, Matt, and we'll see you when you get back. I thought we could maybe close out today's episode with some reviews that you dug up.
I love that. Yeah, I pitched that earlier. We had it also gone on Twitter or X or whatever it's called and asked for some reviews. We've done this a little bit on Ridiculous History as well. Let's stick with the ones that made us laugh. So we asked and you responded. We're just going to give you some funny ones and then some wholesome ones. Here's one. Good show, says Timses 54. Excellent show. I see meathead right wingers don't like your show. They want you to tell them QAnon is real and Tom Hanks drinks the blood of babies.
Tom, no.
5 stars. Thank you.
That was nice. That was nice. I like that from Timses 54. Next one we got Happy Holidays. In lieu of presents, I'm leaving this 5-star review to validate that Ben is very good at doing the podcast thing.
All right. I did put my thumb on the scale there a little bit on Twitter.
I was like, fine with that, man.
Please,
hey.
Please hand that to us in lieu of a gift.
The rest of us, we're working on it. Swestall, we'll get there. We'll get to Ben's level eventually. I'm kidding. We're a team. We do this all together, but that is really nice.
This is a fun one you might like, Noel. Office Claw Review, IDRC 11JZ9 says, the good occasionally listen. Is this the best podcast? 3 question marks. No. Is it a good podcast to listen to occasionally? 1 question mark. Yes. They covered some interesting topics. 5 stars.
Wow. I love the official review ID. Didn't even have a name. It just has an official review ID. This is nice because I have these. This makes me very happy, if you don't mind, Ben. This is my comfort show. I've been listening to this show since 2015, and now I can't go to sleep without it. I saw the negative reviews from angry weirdos, so I figured I owe them a positive review after all these years. Ben, do you have a comfort show? I got a couple.
Sure. Yeah, many. I work out to the Kubrick version of The Shining pretty often.
That's weird. I love that so much, Ben. You've told me that in the past. I'm glad that gets your blood flowing. Like, does it make your blood flow like out of a giant elevator down a hallway?
There we go. I love an analogy. It's kind of a simile. It's kind of Pavlovian, right? We train ourselves. And we want to also, by the way, thank everybody who has taken the time to write to us. Keep the reviews coming. We love reading them. Keep the voicemails and the emails coming as well.
You know, it is so funny because we obviously have a wonderful community of folks who really value the show and write into us. And we just, you know, we have enough that we do these listener mail things every week and have nothing but interesting, thoughtful feedback and stories and whatever. It just seems that there is a contingent of folks that like to communicate their hatred for us on the reviews, but don't really engage with the show. So, you know, be the change you want to see. Folks, if you write to us for listener mail and you do like the show, help push some of these people down in the reviews, because it hurts our feelings. I'm just kidding. It's really kind of hilarious to the point of the first reviewer. It's honestly, in many ways, a badge of honor. It's just this space that we work in, you know, the conspiracy kind of theory space. There is some toxicity and negativity within it, and we try to be the opposite of that. And I hope that's what makes us people's comfort show.
In lieu of bribes, please send Kinder eggs, the real ones.
Yeah.
Write to us and we'll give you the address off mic. All right. Thank you so much to everybody who took the time to call, everybody who took the time to write. We can't wait to hear from you. Join up. Become a fellow conspiracy realist on the air. We try to be easy to find online.
Correct. You can find us in the handle Conspiracy Stuff on X, FKA Twitter, YouTube, where we've got tons of new awesome video stuff coming this year. You've seen it throughout the past year, but we're just going to be ratcheting it up even further and possibly introducing some new content onto that YouTube channel. You can also find us at Conspiracy Stuff on Facebook, on Instagram and TikTok. We're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
You can also give us a call. The phone number is 1-833-STDWYTK. You'll hear a hopefully familiar voice and then a beep like so. Beep. That signifies that you're off to the conspiracy races. You've got 3 minutes. Those 3 minutes are your own. All that we ask is that you give us a nickname, a moniker you'd like to use. Tell us what's on your mind and let us know whether we can use your name and or message on the air. Most importantly, don't limit yourselves to 3 minutes. If you have more to say, if you have a long story, a firsthand experience you'd like to relate, like our friend Fastfoot, we cannot wait to encounter it, to experience it. All you have to do is drop us a line at our good old-fashioned email address, lead us to the edge of the rabbit hole, and we will do the rest where we are.
Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.